he cares. In fact, I think that Donald Trump, from everything he's said, may view democracy as an impediment to what he wants to do. I think he's very close to some of the other authoritarians who have shown themselves both in American history and in history around the rest of the world. This is a very dangerous attitude. It's particularly dangerous when we don't have strong mediating institutions such as labor unions or other organizations and political parties that can soften and subdue or in any way reduce the influence of an authoritarian when so many people in America now feel so atomized, so isolated, when so many people are getting their news and expressing themselves on Twitters. Without intermediary institutions, this kind of authoritarian power grab is particularly dangerous.
Robert Reich, I want to thank you for being with us. Former Labor Secretary under President Bill Clinton, now endorsing Senator Bernie Sanders for president. Robert
Thank you,
Reich
Amy.
Is professor at the University of California, Berkeley, author of many books, his latest, Saving Capitalism for the Many, Not the Few. And that does it for our broadcast. If you'd like to get a copy, go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is hiring three jobs: broadcast engineer, director of finance and operations, and director of development. Go to our website. I'm Amy Goodman. This is democracynow.org.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today we're joined by Sanders and Clinton supporters to discuss the candidates' relative merits.
This Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, Moses Ross, and a supporter of Bernie Sanders, Keisha Thomas, will join us and discuss their candidates' ideas. That's this Tuesday at 8 a.m. on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 5th through March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Fade to Black, a book release event for political prisoner Jalil Muntakam on Thursday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. This political education and community event will promote the recent book release of Escaping the Prison, Fade to Black. Jalil is a political prisoner who organized with the Black Panther Party in the Bay Area and was underground with the Black Liberation Army. He was captured when he was 19 in 1971 and has been locked up ever since. This event will feature local talent and activists including Black Butterfly, Kent Ford, Walida Imarisha, and many more. Again, that's Fade to Black, a book release event for political prisoner Jalil Muntakam on Thursday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th in Portland.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, a full-service automotive shop located next to Portland's Selwood Bridge for over 30 years. They're a Blue Seal certified shop committed to client care and community support. Information on their eco certification, client carbon neutral program, courtesy shuttle, rentals, and more at tomdwyer.com or by calling 503-230-2300.
1, 2.
Yeah, have pity on the working man. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. I'm Joe Uris. Number to call, this is a talk show, is 231-8187. We're going to have a kind of a treat today. First of all, we have two guests, each of them an advocate, not a formal member of any campaign, but an advocate for the two large and significant members of the struggle for control of the Democratic candidacy. And Abe's here.
I'm here.
Yeah, he's here. So, first of all, we have Keisha Thomas advocating for Bernie Sanders. And again, I want to emphasize, these are not official people. They may say things.
You guys are unofficial.
You're unofficial. It's not your fault. They may say things that their candidates may or may not agree with, but it'll give you a good taste of what's going on. And Moses Ross advocating for Hillary Clinton. So Keisha and Moses will talk with us. We're going to make it strictly informal.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll ask each of them to make the best case for their respective candidates, and then you and I will play a little devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Because that's fun. And then we'll open it up to
calls. Because we're mean. We're mean people. And people will call, and they'll be so sweet. So how do you, I guess, it doesn't matter.
Coin flip?
What? Coin flip.
Coin flip.
You got
all
a coin?
Right. Yes.
I've been broke so long, I don't even have a coin. Go ahead.
Heads, it's Clinton. Tails, it's Sanders. Tails at Sanders.
There we go. Thank you're
you.
On.
All right.
First of all, I want to remind people, you're Keisha.
That's right.
Yeah. And why why do you think Bernie Sanders should be the candidate of the Democratic Party for president?
Because Bernie Sanders has advocated for the poor and the middle class all his political career. He's been involved from since he was a young college student with CORE, standing up for civil rights. He's been involved in as the mayor of Burlington. He's transformed that city in Vermont. He's ran for Congress and won as a representative of the state of Vermont, and he's served that state very successfully. And he's won 20% of Republican support in that state for Senate. And he's been a marvelous senator. He's a strong advocate. He's bold. He's progressive. He's everything I would expect to see in an ideal candidate. So I don't see any other questions or anything that would say otherwise about Bernie Sanders.
Okay. And on the other hand, Moses, why Hillary?
Well, I support Hillary because of the breadth of experience that she has in leading our country. Starting out in Arkansas, when she was working with children there, she worked in high poverty areas for as a younger college graduate, right out of law school. She's been a Secretary of State under President Obama, which says so much about the trust that President Obama has in Hillary Clinton to basically hire an opponent of his as to be our representative nationwide. So that fills me with a lot of confidence about Hillary. The fact that she was a New York senator for as long as she was, the fact that she has always been an advocate for the youth, for the underprivileged, for the minority minorities in our communities. So when you combine all of that, that's what really makes me feel good about the leadership that Hillary will give our country, a compassionate but yet pragmatic approach to governing.
Okay.
All right. I want to ask you both about your respective candidates' chances against the likely Republican nominee, whomever that might turn out to be. We'll start with you, Moses. Sure. Why is Senator Clinton the best choice to run against the Republican nominee, most likely Donald Trump?
Well, I point to the concerted effort over the last 2 years by the Republican establishment to discredit Hillary Clinton. And you can extrapolate that even further, and you can say over the past 20 years that the right-wing propaganda machine has been trying very desperately to besmirch and to obfuscate her record. And so this is just an extension of it, what we're seeing right now. And if she can go through all of that as well as she has, like, for instance, the 11-hour Benghazi circus, and to come out on top presidentially, looking presidential, looking like a leader, that fills me with a lot of confidence. So I think that's how she would approach her governing.
Keisha?
The reason why I think Bernie Sanders would be the better candidate is because people are angry. They're upset. They're looking to the outsiders. And that's why Trump is so popular. The problem is these people are channeling their anger in the wrong way. They are looking to their neighbors and their communities around them, and they're blaming the black people, the Latinos, the Muslims. And what Bernie Sanders is saying, he's saying, hey, don't look there. Let's look at the big picture. The problem is we've had income inequality growth for the last 30 years, and we've seen the top one-tenth of 1% getting most of the wealth of this country, and we need to change that trend. And the only way we can do that is through bold progressive programs. And it's actually won over, like I said, 20% of Republicans in Vermont. So I think it's not about labels. It's about the fact that we have good ideas and good plans and proposals that will bring our country back to where it should be.
And I want to toss into the mix here a CNN poll out today that shows both Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders beating Donald Trump by a fairly significant margin in a nationwide matchup. According to the poll, Clinton will top Trump 52% to 44%. But Clinton versus either Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, things tend to tighten up a little bit. Against Rubio, that gap narrows to 50% for Clinton, 47% for Rubio, and against Cruz, 48% to Cruz's 49%. So the poll shows her falling to Senator Cruz. Sanders, on the other hand, beats all of them by a pretty wide margin, according to this poll. 55 to 43 against Trump, 53-45 against Rubio, 57-40 against Cruz. So at least insofar as this poll suggests, it looks like Sanders is the more viable candidate in a national election against a Republican opponent, whoever they might be.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand, and this is me, only me, that at this point, traditionally in American politics, both parties, ever since 1948, really, have moved to the center and are supporters basically of the establishment. Mm-hmm. Now, on the one hand, Democrats have taken a more liberal stance on a variety of issues, most notably civil rights, not particularly labor, that's an interesting fact. But this is probably the first time in my memory where a viable, what we call progressive, by which is meant kind of liberal left or social democratic candidate, has really risen to the top of the fold on an independent basis, but with the potential support of the one of the two large parties. So it's a very interesting situation. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, comes out of a very firm establishment base. Historic role of her husband as president, and now her importance. Part of what I see as perceived importance in the race is the fact that she's a woman. And that's an issue. There are a lot of people, particularly women, who say, come on, let's... Women are, and I'm not going to buy anything on this at all, one way or the other, but women are more thoughtful, women are more careful, women build alliances better, and so on. On the other hand, Sanders obviously is advocating what would be in any other country in Europe, for example, a rather ordinary set of changes that would bring about not an end to capitalism, and this is important, not an end to capitalism, but rather a modification of the system so that the poor and the needy receive things like health care and basic support. So, and Hillary has indicated she has some support for some of those ideas, but it's not clear. You wanted to...
Oh, I did want to mention that, you know, I think that the fact that Hillary Clinton is a progressive and is been pushed to be even more of a progressive by Bernie Sanders. And that is the...
I agree with that.
Yeah. And I would venture to say that is the beauty of the primary process. What you have seen happening in the Republicans is the same thing that you've been seen happening with the Democrats. You have people on the far edge of the ideological spectrum that are pushing the majority opinion closer to their perspective. And in the, on the Republican side, you have Trump on the far left, and it's made the establishment Republicans have to go for, or you have Trump on the right, and you have the establishment Republicans that are having to scramble to go over to the right with more extremism. And over on the Democratic side, you have Hillary Clinton and you have Bernie Sanders, and Bernie is on that far left, progressive left ideological scale. And so from the benefit to the more mainstream candidate, it is pushing her to be to consider, pushing her to articulate her positions better and to, I don't know about adopt, but to promote her more populist themes that I believe that she has had. So I tip my hat to Bernie Sanders. That's the purpose of the primary process, is to have this kind of discussion within the Democratic Party, within the party structure, and then let the party members decide.
Do you have a response to that, Keisha?
Yes, I believe Bernie Sanders have definitely pushed Hillary to the left more, but there's something there that we have to consider here. He's been advocating this for years. We have multiple YouTube videos out there of Bernie Sanders speaking against all the policies and proposals of pushing our country further into a place where we have an increasing income gap. And that's the main problem here. Now, it's great that Hillary has moved to the left, but I mean, we don't really know if she will follow through with her proposals and her plans. She's evolved or changed over the last 6-7 months. We don't really know if she's going to follow through. She takes in big Wall Street money. So we really don't know what she will follow through. Bernie Sanders has been consistent and has maintained most of his positions over the years. So we can, you know, there's an issue there with the trust. But I know that she's a great woman. I respect her personally. A lot of women look up to her and think she's a great person. But there is an issue there. And I think that's why Bernie Sanders is getting a lot of popularity.
Sure. And I would like to point out that 74.8% of Democratic Party voters in South Carolina felt that Hillary Clinton was the better candidate, only 24.3% in South Carolina. So my point is that, yes, there is an appeal of both of the candidates to the Democratic Party base. And I think what this is more than anything is this is an internal debate between the party, between the family members of the Democratic Party, of how, what do we want to do to bridge that equality gap that is been so vehemently exposed by the Republican Party and is trickling into the Democratic Party. But from a populist liberal perspective. And so this is a good thing that we're having this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's an important, actually it's a more interesting race than we've had in a long, long time. I do want to bring up two things. When you mentioned the Carolina victory, yes, really what seems to me to be the crucial failing of the Sanders team, first of all, here's my thinking, and this is mine.
Okay.
I think Bernie saw himself as the protest candidate, as the candidate of a left position. And left in America isn't very far left, let's be clear on that.
Right.
No.
And he did not realize, I don't think his people realize, I don't even know if he has people as such, that there is really a great groundswell of feeling, particularly among younger people, to some social democratic reforms. Unfortunately, Sanders has not, either he doesn't have the skills or doesn't have the team to reach out to African-American community members. And you can see that. And that is a great failing. He was, and I want to make this clear, very active in the civil rights movement back in the day, as we say. There's no question about his bona fides, but it's really important to understand that right now in this world, he is, for most African-Americans, the white guy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, without being without talking about racism to a great extent, that is a reality which we're seeing come to the fore in this contest.
Well, I just have to say, the reason, you know, I lived in North Carolina on the border of South Carolina, worked in South Carolina. I kind of got a feel for what's going on down there. And what it is Hillary Clinton has name recognition. She's been around for years. Everyone knows her as the former first lady, secretary of state and all of that. So, you know, people are voting, I believe, down there based on what they, you know. And it took me a while to learn about Bernie Sanders. So I expect that it would take some other people a while to learn about him and feel comfortable enough to vote for him and advocate as a supporter. So I understand why the loss happened the way it did. I don't think it's anything against Bernie Sanders. It's just the fact that he started later than Clinton. She announced her candidacy before he did. They know her from back in the 90s and all of that. So these people, and then with a lack of progressive talk radio and all of that, and the media sources to actually communicate Bernie Sanders to the people there. So there's a lot of factors that went into that loss.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what I think we should do from this point on. I've got a couple more questions for the both of you regarding specific policy positions and ideologies expressed by your respective candidates. And after that, I think we should invite our listeners to join in the
conversation.
If you're listening, 503-231-8187 is the number to call to take part in this conversation. You can also leave us a comment or a question on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AbeandJoe. You can also use the Twitter machine. I'm at HonestAbe72.
I didn't know you were Honest Abe.
Well, at least on Twitter I am. Yeah. Appearances must be maintained.
Really? Yeah. I just want to tell people that there's Keisha Thomas, who's an informal representative of Bernie Sanders, and Moses Ross, who is also an informal representative, but in his case, of Hillary Clinton. And this is a conversation, and it's fun. I hope.
Indeed. Yes.
Definitely.
So my next question is for Keisha.
Yes.
Senator Sanders proudly embraces the label of Democratic Socialist.
Yes.
Which is a little bit miraculous in American politics, given that leftists have spent several decades running from that term, running from the term liberal and running from the term socialist. Yet Bernie embraces it and owns it, and I think has done a pretty good job explaining to the American people exactly what that means. So my question to you is, how and why do you think he has been able to communicate this? And do you think that he would be able to effectively do so in a nationwide matchup with the Republican nominee?
He's been successful because he's honest. He's consistent. His label matches with his positions. So when people see that these positions are common sense, when they take them issue by issue, they're very popular amongst American people. Majority of people support the positions he's taken on healthcare, on education, on Wall Street. So people are actually starting to, the labels are starting to, you know, disappear, and they're starting to see the issue for what they are. The issues for what they are. And that's what's making them, making him so successful, because he's focused on the issues. This is, I think, the first presidential campaign I've seen in a long time where we are really focused on the issues. And people are really angry, like I said before. They want to, you know, get these issues tackled. And here we are talking about the issues because Bernie Sanders has brought that back into focus. And that's what that's what's making him so successful. And I believe in the general, it'll be the same way. People are, again, angry. They're upset. They're tired of seeing their pay go down. Productivity's gone up by over 20% over the last 40 mm-hmm. years. Men are making almost $800 less than they did 40 years ago, adjusted with inflation. And women are making $1,366 less than they did in 2007. So people are upset. They want to see change. And they see that in Bernie Sanders.
All right, next question's for you, Moses. You mentioned earlier Senator Clinton's extensive experience in foreign policy as Secretary of State under President Obama and also as a United States Senator. I don't think anybody has cause to doubt her, either her intelligence or her experience on these matters. But progressive voters, I think, do have reason to question her judgment. She supported the invasion of Iraq, and she was also, according to reports, a prime mover in the Obama administration behind the disastrous intervention in Libya. So my question to you as a Hillary Clinton supporter is, what guarantees do progressive voters have that she won't get us embroiled in yet another mess in the Middle East?
Well, I think her work as Secretary of State over the past 4 years, as far as the use of smart power, Obama's approach of smart power, kind of answers that question. Because first off, this is not a Bush Republican administration. We don't immediately knee-jerk into using military power. Under the last 8 years and under the 4 years of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, we used a much more moderated, more realistic approach to foreign policy. So I look at that history and the what she did during those 4 years, the fact that we did not go into another war, the fact that we were able to get Gaddafi out, we were able to help stimulate the Arab Spring, the fact that we were able to help these groups in foreign countries to be able to rise up against their dictators. I look at that and I say to myself, is Hillary going to take a W approach, or is she going to take an Obama approach? And I know for a fact, 100%, I'm confident that she will take the President Obama approach in foreign policy. So I think that that is a unnecessary concern about Hillary Clinton. So, yeah.
Well, I think we could talk a lot more on this subject, but we'll leave it there for now, I think. Let's go to the phones. Sheila, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'll try and make it fast. First of all, I as one time was a Hillary supporter. I don't trust her anymore. The fact that she is now moving towards the left, that to me is a lot of talk. She's being pushed there because she's got to say something more along Bernie's lines. So just because she's moving towards the left verbally doesn't mean that she's moving towards the left in her what she would do. She thinks Henry Kissinger is the greatest. She goes to him for advice. Henry Kissinger, he's a warmonger. He scares me. She scares me. She takes money from Wall Street. She speaks for Goldman Sachs. I don't trust her. I do trust Bernie because he has done what he walks the talk. He doesn't just say and then do something else. Hillary is, I believe, for the TPP. If she's going to support Obama's administration.
She came out against the TPP.
Did she finally?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's not opposed to, she's supporting what Obama's doing. Obama may not have overt war, but what is he doing in the Middle East with his drone strikes? If she supports that, I think that's disgraceful. It scares me. I do not trust Hillary Clinton at all. I trust Bernie Sanders. He talks, he walks the talk. And that to me is important. He's got history behind him. Hillary does not. Hillary supported the and promoted the war against Libya, and it's a catastrophe now over there, what's going on. I don't trust her judgment. I think she's a brilliant woman, but I don't trust her judgment anymore. I think when she started out with Bill Clinton, when he was first president and tried to do health care, that was great. But I don't believe that she is what she was then. I think she has changed her policy and her beliefs and what she wants to do. I have friends who think because she's a woman, she's going to help women. I don't know about that. I think Hillary is for Hillary now. I think she's an opportunist.
Well,
and I'm very angry about that.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. I think we'll give our guests a chance to respond.
Thank you.
I think it's in your corner, Moses.
Yeah, I think it is. I'm not sure. I cannot. Anything that I would say would not appease this. It would not allay this woman's concerns. That is for a fact. But what I can say is that when it comes to the integrity of Hillary Clinton, I have 100% faith in it, that she will be working for the best interest of our country, bar none. When you get into a position of power as like Secretary of State or as President, you learn things and you are taking into consideration many, many factors. And so we don't know what happened fully in Libya. We don't know fully what predicated President Obama's decisions in some of those situations or Hillary's situations. We can disagree with the outcome, but to put the blame on Hillary without knowing the full details is, in my view, inappropriate. And I would just encourage you to take an honest look at Hillary Clinton's platform and her record, not looking at it through the prism of the right-wing propaganda machine that has skewed her opinion on many views over the last 25 years. We as Democrats, we must stay above that ideological lying that has been going out there. I mean, the record is what the record is.
Keisha, do you want to respond to that?
Yes, I actually understand this woman's point of view. I agree with quite a few of her points. And the one thing that she talked about was judgment. Bernie Sanders has the right judgment. Hillary has a record of not being the best on judgment when it comes to foreign affairs. She's voted for the Iraq War. She's helped to topple Libyan government. And she has, I think this woman has a great point here. There's a judgment issue. And the last, I forgot what debate number it was, but in one of the debates, Hillary mentioned putting a no-fly zone over Syria. That's asking for World War III almost. I mean, you're basically telling Russia, no, you cannot fly. Good luck with that. So I think she has a good point here. There's something here that we have to really consider as part of our choice when we go to the ballot box and we vote.
All right. Who's next, Steve? Francis, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I pretty much totally agree with your last caller. And every person I know, black or white, is supporting Bernie Sanders. And it's young people and older people. And as Killer Mike said, the rapper, when Hillary was a Goldwater girl, Bernie Sanders was getting arrested in a civil rights demonstration. So that's how that far back he goes with his philosophies, and hers are very questionable. She's speaking the right words right now as far as prison reform, but the prison industrial complex and the military industrial complex kind of working hand in hand right now, and her view of the world and how it's okay to kill and maim children in parts of the country of the world is absurd to me. I would question your guest as to how he thinks it's okay that we removed the leader of a sovereign country, and he was killed in such a brutal way, and under Hillary's watch as Secretary of State.
Are you talking about Gaddafi?
here.
Yes. And
she's defending Gaddafi against Hillary's decision to be working on...
I'm asking you why you think that's okay, and to leave a country in total disarray, their water supply destroyed by bombs, and people fleeing the country trying to find somewhere to live.
Okay, Francis.
Why you think that's okay? I want to know why you think that's okay.
Francis, thanks for the call.
Francis, thank you very much for the call. What we're trying to do, and I want to remind everybody who calls in that we're trying to keep a 3-minute limit on calls just so we can get as many people in as possible. But I think, Moses, you should get a chance to respond, because that's a direct criticism.
And I want to throw one thing in here before we go any further. I want to encourage our listeners, please try and make your criticism about substantive things. Let's try and avoid ad hominem attacks. I'm not saying, Francis, that you were guilty of that, but some of people's commentary on this is a very sensitive issue. Sometimes people's emotions get the best of them. So I'm asking you all to just take a deep breath, try to make your comments and criticisms substantive. Go ahead, Moses.
Well, what can I say? Once again, this is somebody that I cannot convince, or I cannot present with facts to be able to change her mind. But what I can say is, as far as Libya goes, Gaddafi was a very evil man, and he would kill... I'm having to make excuses for foreign policy. I just had a flashback. Those are the same things that were said about the Iraq guy, Saddam Hussein. Now, I'm not comparing the two of them at all, but I am comparing the two of them at all. I am comparing the two of them in the sense that they were suppressive regimes, dictatorships. There were no freedoms. There were no liberties. And the Libya situation, that was part of the Arab Spring. And so that was an internal revolution that was the catalyst to getting Gaddafi out. It had already started by the time outsiders, NATO, went in there to try to do their thing. So to the generalizations, I just can't do anything about those. I can't defend against those generalizations. All I can say is Hillary was chosen by President Obama to act as our representative to the world, and she did that for 4 years. I trust President Obama's judgment.
Okay, I just want to say one thing, that this is me only speaking. We have had what I regard as a disastrous foreign policy, really going back a long, long, long time, but most notably during the Bush the Lesser regime.
Yep.
And it's really clear that in the process of that, we stepped in the you-know-what, and we're still stuck in it. Mm-hmm. I think that there was no good outcome once we got involved militarily in Iraq, pardon me, and I think there was no good outcome that could possibly come out of the attempt to overthrow Gaddafi. Gaddafi was engaged at the time that we intervened in a murderous plan, no question about it, to kill opposition, and his power and strength really rested in a tribal system. So just put, we all need to understand that. It was a very difficult thing. The current usage of the disaster that took place for our embassy people in Libya is really, you know, it's not Hillary's. She didn't do anything wrong. She was operating from a great distance in a situation which was an inevitable outcome of a very strong movement of nationalist and Islamic fundamentalism that was taking place at the time. So I want to put that in frame.
And let's also just take that even one step further, and that's the republicanization of the Benghazi situation.
Right.
I think we all can agree that she was demonized unnecessarily, unfairly, and inappropriately for 11 hours. And during that 11-hour circus fest, she turned out to look more presidential, more leader-ish, if that is a word. And addressed every single question posed to her in a dignified and good way, in a positive way. So, and I just want to point out also that back when she was Secretary of State, and she had over a 65% approval rating by the general public. Why is it that now, all of a sudden, she does not? I think it is because of a concerted effort by her opponents on the Republican side, and quite frankly, some within the Democratic Party, to disparage her reputation, to disparage her record, to disparage her as a person. And I just don't dig on that. That's just so inappropriate. We are a Democratic Party family, and we are having a discussion as a family, and we need to keep it civil.
Well,
go ahead.
I have something I need to say. So Hillary Clinton came out with a book called Hard Choices back in 2014. In her book, she disparaged Obama's foreign policy organizing principles. She said, don't do stupid stuff is not an organizing principle. So Hillary has her little fair share of trying to sell a book to, and she disparaged Obama in the process. So I think a lot of people are looking at her and they're questioning her, you know, her ability to be loyal and to be committed to doing what, you know, following through with, you know, following Obama's policies and, you know, being in accord with him, because she actually did put it in her book. I mean, she did. Let's just say that Obama did say this, that, you know, don't do stupid stuff is an organizing principle. Do you really believe that was really his organizing principle? That it was really, I think that was a tongue-in-cheek comment that she took and ran with it.
I think so, it was a tongue-in-cheek comment that she made in the book and that you are using that is not an inappropriate.
Okay, now
in comparison.
But it was said in her book, and so she shouldn't have mentioned it at all if she was trying to keep the positive relationship between her and the president.
I want to inject one thing here that I believe is true. From the moment of his selection as president, the Republican establishment has taken a racist position unlike any position ever taken toward any president in the past by the Republicans. And essentially their position is, as long as they control Congress, nothing he wants to do can succeed. And under those conditions, it's impossible to make a real judgment of what his policies would have been. Now, I have criticisms of him. Yes. I think he was a little weak from the very get-go, and I think his limited experience in national government did play out in the course of all this. I just want to throw that out there. This is not about Hillary. This is not about Bernie Sanders. But it's important to understand because it's the context from which the current election process is going on.
Okay. Let's take care of a little biz and then we'll continue. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, Thomas Lindsay of the Community Environment Legal Defense Fund speaks on local community self-government. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Flashpoints presents audio from an event celebrating the life and times of Rebel reporter John Ross. Then Kevin Pena gives an update on the struggle for democracy in Haiti. At 11, on stage and studio, Demia Roberts features Boom Arts, a theater company dedicated to international and contemporary plays. Their latest production is Free Outgoing. She also talks with author and scholar Judy Young, who will be in Portland to talk about Chinese American women for the Oregon Historical Society's Beyond the Gate opening celebration. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, we'll hear a program from the KBOO Archives featuring the late architect Michael Graves speaking in Portland in the 1980s after the opening of the Portland building, which he designed. All this and more coming up today on KBOO 90.7 FM. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. We're joined today by advocates from both the Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton campaigns. And it's been a pretty lively discussion thus far.
I think it's a good discussion.
It's a great discussion.
I think everybody's impassioned, but also careful. And I like that. And I think we should go to more of our callers.
Valerie, good morning.
Good morning. Hang on, I'm going to turn my speaker off. I'm a huge Bernie supporter.
Huge.
I'm a senior citizen. I'm 68. I lost track. 68 years old. I've followed Bernie for at least 5 years on Brunch with Bernie and Tom Hartman. I have supported him over the years, and I'm an Oregonian, and I gave money to his campaigns in Vermont because I think he is one of the true, honest, genuine, sincere politicians. He hasn't changed what he's been saying. My coworker lived in Burlington, Vermont many years ago when Bernie was running for mayor. She worked on his campaign, said he is the real deal. He is a serious puppy, she said.
A serious puppy?
He does not waver.
Okay.
So, she said sometimes he's grouchy because he's so on message with what he wants to accomplish, and that's why he did so well in that executive role. But I think for me, I was supporting Hillary up until Bernie ran, because now I see Bernie is about all of us. Hillary just fine-tuned her message to start saying us, but it was about her, about what she's accomplished, not about what she was going to do for us or about how we are all part of that movement. And I think that was one of Obama's failings. He got into office, and after he had created this huge movement, he said, I got it now, folks. I can handle it. I'll take care of it. But as we all know, some of the things that he did that we didn't like, that I fear will happen, is he put all these Wall Street people in charge. And I fear that since she's taking money from them, she spoke before, we all know the big controversy, won't release those transcripts, which is troubling because there's obviously something in there that she doesn't want people to see. And I keep thinking, what if that comes out in the general, someone like the 47% deal that someone taped, and someone has a copy of what she was saying. And the other thing is I do worry about opposition research, and the GOP, they're clever. They've been waiting for her to run for forever, and I fear they're going to wait until she has won, and then it's all going to come out. And then we're stuck with her. And I will just mention that the other thing about the contrast is Hillary and Bill have our third way, and I think you politicos know what that is.
Yes.
They're really center-right Democrats. And this is a time in my lifetime, and I'm a lot older than you folks, I'm sure, we need a FDR progressive president.
Yes, we do.
On that note, I think I'm going to let you go. Abe, you wanted to say something.
Yes, and I want to throw this to Keisha first. I think that caller touched on a couple of factors that I think are animating the Sanders campaign. One is that what he's espousing now reflects a lifetime of belief and advocacy, and that has translated into the perception of a great deal of integrity on his part. And I'm not saying that Secretary Clinton lacks integrity. I'm saying that this is a quality attributed to Bernie much of the time. And secondly, the caller mentioned that there's an inclusivity to Sanders' message that is also helping him. What do you have to say about those topics?
She's right. Bernie Sanders has tapped into, from the very beginning, with the people. He's been aligned with the people. He stayed grounded. He's always been an advocate with his weekly radio show with the Tom Hartman show, Brunch with Bernie. He was able to stay connected and talk to people weekly. I don't know any politician that's done that as consistently as he has over the years. So he has stayed connected with the people throughout the years. He stayed tight. And a lot of people are appreciative of someone like that. He's a breath of fresh air. So yes, the people are responding very well to him because of that.
Okay, I think you should get a chance.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I remember I was an original DENIAC, Howard Dean supporter, back in 2004. I was really involved. Matter of fact, I helped to organize it here in the state. I was also very involved in the Dennis Kucinich campaign in 2004 and in 6 or in 8. So as far as progressive bona fides, I definitely have acquired those over the years.
Okay.
And so I put that out there because I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of Dean, we had this same exact situation, the enthusiasm, we have the power, you have the power. He framed it beautifully. He was talking about populist issues and he got demolished. Kucinich, same sort of a thing, talking about populist issues, nowhere. And so I was a supporter of Hillary back in 08 because I felt that her positions then, as I do now, were achievable. And so I'm tired of the pie in the sky approach, philosophical approach. I want practical solutions, and I want them now within the government that we have now. The only way that the Sanders platform will be fully implemented is if, God forbid, we get the Senate, we turn the Senate and the House, and that is going to be impossible to do in this fall's election. Impossible because of redistricting. So that means that Bernie Sanders, if he wins, would have a minority, would not be able to pass anything. You would see Obama, you would have Obama resistance times 20. And so I want some work done towards my progressive goals, and I want them to be done in a pragmatic, I want them done. I don't want pie in the sky.
So
go ahead, real quick.
Bernie has done a lot in the Senate and in Congress as a former representative. He's passed a lot of bills. He's worked across the aisle. There's articles about it all over the internet. In terms of him being, his ideas being pie in the sky, I don't believe that, because it's a revolution that's happening. We are channeling millions of people. And he said time and time again, it takes millions of standing up and fighting for what we want. And that's what's going on right now. You have not seen this type of enthusiasm anywhere. The previous candidates, Howard Dean, Kasunich, that was before social media. That was before we had the ability to channel all of this energy and harness it and mobilize with social media. So social media is playing a big role right now, these years, in this election.
Well, I think that's actually the question of social media does bring in an interesting aspect to all of this. But let's go back to our phone.
Let's do it. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I've been watching Hillary, since Bill Clinton got elected president in 92. And I've seen basically an unbroken record of failure there. Like, for instance, she messed up a brilliant opportunity to have healthcare reform in 94. And
did she mess that up, or was she defeated by entrenched conservative opposition?
Thank you.
Yes.
If she didn't accurately read the battlefield and come up with a plan that could succeed on the battlefield that actually existed, I call that incompetence. There was conservative opposition, and either she didn't know what it was like, or she didn't make a plan that could successfully get passed. And in any case, I think it's on her that she made up, the same thing that the Hillary supporter just said about how Hillary's practical and can get things done. Well, what she did in 94 didn't work out to be practical.
I disagree with you, because it changed the entire spectrum of the discussion about health care and predicated the work that President Obama did to pass the ACA. It started the ball rolling. It started the conversation happening, and she took one for the team to get that conversation started. So I disagree with you.
Well, I don't think that at the time Hillary thought that she knew she was going to be defeated, but she wanted to get a conversation started. I think she thought she was going to pass that thing she invented, and the thing she invented.
And shame on us Democrats, and shame on us Democrats for not rallying behind her during that time, during the 90s, when the Clintons were trying their best to be able to pass universal health care. Where was Bernie Sanders, by the way, during that argument?
I want our caller to be able to finish up briefly.
Okay, briefly. So then we fast forward to foreign policy in the Obama era, which basically incompetently resulted in the rise of ISIS in Iraq and Libya. I mean, in Iraq and Syria and Libya. And, once again, Hillary was right there as the Secretary of State. I've noticed with interest that any time Hillary supporters, you ask them, well, what did Hillary accomplish as Secretary of State? They say she flew a million miles, which is like, lots of people could sit on an airplane for however long that takes. I just don't see, I don't see any accomplishment, a specific thing that you can say, this is what Hillary accomplished. It's, she didn't accomplish health care in 93. The Obama foreign policy has turned out to be not exactly what I would call a success, and she was responsible, I suppose, for part of that as Secretary of State. So I just don't see what you could say about Hillary that here's a brilliant, successful thing that Hillary accomplished.
I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate your comments. And I think rather than having our guests comment at this point, I think what we ought to do is get as many people in as we can in the next couple of minutes.
All right. Cooley writes into the Twitter machine to say, Hillary is so steeped into the politics that we are so sick of, she will run with the corporatocracy as she has since day one.
What can I say? I mean, it's once again, it's the propaganda machine at work. I mean, the right wing has done an amazingly good job at framing this, and shame on Democrats for picking it up.
Okay.
I just totally contradicted what you wanted to do, didn't I, Joe?
Yeah, you did, all but right. That's all right. I'm used to it.
It's democracy, man.
You're
it's democracy.
You're just awful.
Who's next, Steve? Melvin, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Kudos to the a radio host for bringing in a true triangulator. Look, Hillary's part of the problem here with Hillary Clinton is this foundation thing. And a lot...
I'm sorry, foundation thing?
Yeah, her foundation, the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, the Clinton Foundation. Oh. Okay.
And I think that the way that Obama played it is he kept his friends close, but he kept his enemies closer. And I think that she had was working sort of both sides of the coin with a lot of these foreign interests and with weapons and procurement. And
do you have any proof? Do you have any proof of that?
Do I have any proof for that?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you disprove it?
Well, why don't you? No,
gentlemen, there's no point to this argument. Let's just continue on. Finish your point.
So anyway,
please.
The thing is that what we're seeing is the State Department is basically an arms sales group, and they're selling arms to all these Middle Eastern countries to use on contiguous countries or on their own people, and are receiving the Clinton Foundation is receiving funds from those sovereign countries. As donations to so-called charities. I think that's really strange and really sort of unsavory. And I think that the United States government should act on its own accord without any strings attached to private foundations. And so I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'll leave it there and let the guest parse that.
Well, I think what I want to do, and I think maybe Abe will agree, I think I want to get as many of these callers in as possible, though I know there are arguments that either of you could be making here.
I can't say anything to that. There's nothing I can say to he said.
Why don't we do this? Let's take at least one more call, and then we'll give our guests a chance to make closing statements.
I think that's fine.
All right. Steve is next.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Good morning.
Enjoy your program. I think it's great entertainment. You're entertainers. You're not soothsayers or professors. So keep it up. I appreciate
it. Oh, I are a professor. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm entertained by both the right and left wing talk shows. But what I'm concerned about, and I'm undecided, I'm a centrist, I'm a veteran, I'm unaffiliated politically here in Oregon, and I'm concerned for the body politic because our philosophical immune system seems so weak. Mm. We're unable to sit down. You know, the idea.
Really like that concept.
No doubt.
Go ahead.
The idea that you could sit down with a Trump supporter who's not an idiot, and a Cruz supporter who's not a fanatic, and actually ask them, why is it that he resonates with you, and you could actually understand, or that they could sit down with a Bernie Sanders or a Clinton supporter, and that they could understand. If we don't come to some understanding on what our core beliefs and genuinely unifying beliefs are, I'm concerned for the future. And I don't think Obama fulfilled the promise of One America. And I trust that somebody will start figuring this out, or we'll become even more dissonant and more divided. And, I want KBOO to be more intellectually tolerant than I believe it has been in the past with regard to, those conservative folks who are part of our community.
Okay. That's a fair point. That's fair criticism. Thank you for the call.
But I think we're going to now give our guests an opportunity.
Let's start with you, Keisha. You have 60 seconds.
Bernie Sanders is about all of us. He wants to see all of us come out out of his presidency, if he were to win, in a better shape than we were when he started. We've seen the income gap increase over the last 30 plus years. We've seen new wealth go up to the top 0.1%. We've seen in foreign policy the disastrous decisions that's been made under the Bush administration that's been somewhat carried out through the Obama administration. And we want to see a change. We want to see that our dollars are spent on us, that our the focus of our country is on us, not on building other nations. We want to build our nation. We want to invest in infrastructure, $1 trillion for 13 million jobs. We would like to see that here. So if we have Bernie Sanders as our president, we can see all this come into fruition if we all stand up and we fight.
Thank you very much. You're on, Moses.
One of the reasons that I'm a Democrat is because Democrats make people's lives better. And the values of making people's lives better is a fundamental trait within the Democratic Party. It's our foundation. And that's why I support Hillary. It's because she shares my fundamental values of making people's lives better. She is a very religious person. She doesn't espouse her religion. She's a good woman. She has experience. I'd like to see her as president.
Okay, I want to thank you both. We'll do this again. I don't know if it'll be you two. It probably will. Ooh. I like both of you. I like the way you argue.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. Thank you both.
So much.
And folks, we'll be talking more about this up through the selection of the candidates. And also, we have this looming reality, and I'm going to say this because it's important, of a neo-fascist phenomenon in American politics that I hope is going to go away, but I don't know.
With really bad hair.
I actually think the hair is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, thank you to everybody who took part in this conversation today. Thank you for your continued support, and we'll be back at you 2 weeks from now. We're off next week.
Right, because it's going to be International Women's Day.
All right. Talk to you then.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven in Portland. Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, is a brand new variety show style monthly night, taking cues from vaudevillian traditions and narrative comedy. Each month's showcase features a different lineup of performers, bringing together a wide range of artistic disciplines and focusing on polished short pieces from our thriving clown, circus, vaudevillian, and alternative performance communities right here in Portland. Again, that's Oddville, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, 1464 Southeast 2nd Avenue in Portland.